Welcome to Ardor's Erotic Reflections. In this podcast, Ardor gives you glimpses into some of his stories and talks about his odd and pointless views on gender, sex, and all things erotic.
This is a rebroadcast of a 2012 podcast. All books mentioned have been published to my website, arterotica.com, and amazon.com, although there are no longer comment boxes on my website. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the third episode of my podcast. I've got some great stuff to tell you today. As usual, I've been hard at work for you good people. If you've been watching my homepage and you're a fan of the Blank Shan College stories, you'll know that I just released my BSc story, The Unwritten Rules. I know, I've been promising you this story for ages, and I finally came through. But this was a huge story for me, my longest to date, so editing and proofing it was no small job. Then, just when I thought I was ready to publish, I decided that I didn't like the cover image I chose. So it took me another few hours to pick the final image, redo the cover, and get back on track. Of course, by this time, it was like 1 in the morning, and my eyes were too blurry to see. This is the first ebook that I entered into the Kindle Select program, and frankly, I wasn't exactly sure how it worked. There was no way I was going to be able to read fine print with tired, blurry eyes. So I hit the sack and was going to publish the story the first thing the next morning. Wouldn't you know it? When I looked at the ebook the next day, I found mistakes and things that I wanted to change. The problem with being a perfectionist isn't that you get things perfect. It's that you're never happy with the way things are. So I spent another few hours fixing small things in the books here and there in hopes of making it better and easier for you people to read. Finally, I got it up on Amazon and hit the publish button. I was a little hesitant about entering the book into the Kindle Select program, and to be honest, I'm still a little unsure about it. Enrolling in this program means that I'm able to give away the book for free as a promotion, something that Amazon only usually allows large publishers to do. It also means that I'm not allowed to distribute the book anywhere else for 90 days, or they hit me with some pretty serious penalties. Giving it away for free is also supposed to be a marketing strategy that will get not only the free books noticed, but also your other books as well. I'm not sure I believe that giving away your book for free does you any good. In the one day that my book was up for free, I gave away just about 400 copies. That's 393 people who downloaded my book for free. I want to see what, if anything, the effects of that may be. I'll report back in a few weeks or a month and let you know what I think of the Kindle Select program. The real reason that I entered this book in the Kindle Select program was so that I could give it to the hardcore fans of Blank Shan College and those who have been following me from the very start. I'd also like the opportunity to introduce new people to the Blank Shan Yahoo group, and anything else that comes out of this will just be an extra cherry on my ice cream sundae. Actually, one more thing I'd like to come for my free promotion is some positive reviews of the story. You got over a year's worth of work from me for free. If you liked the story, the least you could do is leave me a review of 4 stars or higher on Amazon. It'll only take a minute or two, and if I get 10 comments in total, I will release a free bonus chapter. So, just when you thought the Blank Shan story was over, there's still more for you to read. I even have other Blank Shan story ideas that I would love to work on, so if this book sells well, there'll be lots more to come. At the moment, I'm hard at work on my alien abduction femdom story. It's turning out to be a lot of fun. Come on, wouldn't you love to be abducted by beautiful, horny alien women who want to turn you into their little sex slave? Hell yeah! Wait till you read this story. It involves some interesting transformations. Our hero isn't going to be the same guy physically that he was before the abduction. This story is going to have clothed female, nude male, anal, public exposure, and of course, femdom elements to it. I'm going to really have some kinky sci-fi fun with this one. The thing I'm wondering is, should I make this story longer than my usual 25 to 35,000 words? I'd love some extra room to expand the story and play around with the characters. I guess I'll see how The Unwritten Rules does, and where the story takes me. If you'd like longer stories, please let me know. There are plenty of anonymous comment boxes on my website. I'd love to hear from you people, so please, drop me a line when you get the chance. Now, on to my Pony Play interview. This is very exciting. A few weeks back, I did my very first interview, which I'm about to play the first half of. Now, my skills as an interviewer are a little rough, I admit that. I'm sure you'll pick up on a flub or two I made along the way. It's a fun interview, though, and it gives you an insight on a fetish that I'm sure a lot of people aren't familiar with. Pony play. I think you'll enjoy it, and hopefully gain some insight on a fetish that is quickly becoming very popular nowadays. So I'm proud to present to you my interview with Master Oakman and Slave Diamond. Hi, everybody. We're very lucky today to have Master Oakman and Slave Diamond with us to talk about pony play. How are you guys doing today?
Great.
Good, thank you.
Glad to hear it. For all those in my audience who aren't familiar with you two, would you take a minute to introduce yourself and tell us about your experience in BDSM?
Our primary dynamic in BDSM is master-slave. We got into pony play about 9 years ago. We've been together a total of about 11. Diamond is a collared slave 24/7 to me. Diamond's been in the lifestyle. I've been in a lifestyle since 1992. Diamond since about probably 2000, 2001, something like that.
Okay, absolutely. Well, he just gave my bio. Just as well.
Okay, and I want to congratulate both of you for winning Best Tack and Best Horsemanship at the International Pony Play Championships. Oh, and also Best Championship.
Grand Champion.
Grand Champion. Sorry. That was actually my first pony play event, and I had front row center, and it was really cool to watch. What was it like for you guys to participate in?
We love the competition. We competed last year and got reserve grand champion, which is, in other words, to say a second slot. We love the competition. There's so much camaraderie. We're not competing against anyone. We're performing with everyone in the competition, and we like that aspect of it.
It's amazing. The excitement that it generates, the thrill that you get with people watching you for the first time, and then to have them come up to you afterwards and be like, I want a pony, or I want to be a pony, or how did you do that, and how can I do that? And I just love that it stirs everybody up so much.
Many a pony converts, yes.
Oh, yeah. So many.
It was a lot of fun. I really had a great time. Which of the two of you was the first to discover pony play?
Actually, I'd say that would be Diamond. I had seen demonstrations for many years. I was familiar with bio horses. My previous relationship had owned a horse, so we were very much into horses. But Diamond is the one who discovered pony play. She wanted to be a horse, play pony. And we did that. We initially started off very slow. We went to clubs and played with pony, and very, very basic. Going up to somebody and asking them to stroke the pony, play with the pony, walk the pony around. And that went on. We went to pony parades. We went to different events, again, for clubs and parties. And it progressed into the dressage aspect of pony play, which is, you know, very controlled, very disciplined. You're judged on your gaits, on pony control and horsemanship and such as that.
Okay. For me, the first experience was watching a demonstration at this local BDSM educational group by Sir Charles and Pony Kay. And I just watched her be this pony and just be in this space that just seemed so calm and so beautiful and graceful to me, and I just thought, I have that in me somewhere, you know?
Okay.
And then, so we started to explore it a little bit, and I realized that it really was a part of me. There's just a part of me that is that pony, that loves that pony space.
And it also, you know, transverses the SM aspect as far, why don't you talk about that?
Absolutely, absolutely. In pony play, there is no in your connection, the trust that you have to have, the communication, the power exchange is even on a level with our master-slave relationship, so it ties it all in together.
See, it always seemed to me a little subtler than
better known BDSM play. I mean, it seems like there's a power exchange to it, but it seems like a much subtler brand of power
probably
exchange.
Probably because it's nonverbal.
True.
So being nonverbal, it makes it even harder to communicate. So your power exchange has to be even that much more on a level with each other.
More connected.
Absolutely.
Okay. And is there a difference between the pony play headspace that you go through and the headspace that you're in when you do more recognized BDSM play? Subspace, for example, is there a comparison at all, or is it completely different?
Great question.
Nobody's ever asked me that in all the years. That's a great question. Subspace is completely different than pony headspace.
Uh-huh.
In subspace, pain is transferred into pleasure, and the power exchange is like intense waves between us. In pony headspace, I'm really just existing, and feeling our bond, and just being obedient. And it's very easy. It flows very evenly. I don't know.
And your pony personas come through as well. And you wouldn't do impact play with your pony. I mean, that would just be cruelty.
Cruelty to animals.
Do you have a different headspace when you play with her as a pony versus as a human slave?
Yes. I think that pony play is not for the lazy dominant. I mean, there's subtle, like you picked up on, there's subtle signals with the crop, with the reins, what we're trying to do, the way my commands are given to her are nonverbal. Everything has to be with signals, and it's quite different. I think I am more aware when I'm a handler of my surroundings. In impact play or something like that, I can get lost in the moment and everybody around me disappears.
Yeah, I've had that as well.
Yeah.
You know, up on the cross,
nothing
the rest of the
exists.
Club goes away.
Yeah.
I don't even know it's there anymore.
Right.
Okay. Is there a right way to be a pony? Like, let's say I got a bit in my mouth and suddenly I'm a bucking bronco. I mean, is that...
Well, that's a funny thing you say that. First off, to answer that question, we'd be the last one to tell you there's a wrong way to do anything. It's the way that works for you. But what you just described as a pony persona, that's kind of what comes through. When you really drop into that headspace as a pony, you may become a wild bronco and stampede and
right.
have to be reined in. That's when the pony takes over. And you're not the obedient submissive anymore. You're the renegade pony.
And the cool thing about pony space is that might also change within itself. Like, I have many different pony personas. Like,
why don't you name the pony personas you have?
Well, the first pony was Diamond Pony.
Okay.
And she's kind of the leader of the pack. She's the
little
alpha.
Headstrong.
She's the alpha pony.
Okay.
And she's not headstrong. She's very obedient to her handler. But she has, you know, a little feisty streak, a little sexy streak.
Okay.
And then there's Onyx Pony, who's a little bit of a tougher pony. And she kind of wears a leather waist cincher with studs on it. She's that strong, you know, strong female pony. And then there's a Madonna Pony.
Madonna Pony?
Yes.
Okay.
Madonna Pony.
Does she vogue?
She vogues. She does. Madonna Pony's fun. She's very fun. She's also extremely sexy and sensitive.
Okay.
She wears this leather strappy thing with these cones, which is why...
Removable cones.
Removable cones for her press. So that's
okay.
how... She got her name.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, and then there's Leather Pegasus,
uh-huh.
who's all white, with white wings, and she's very mystical.
So at the event, you actually changed outfits. Were you two different ponies?
Yes.
Really?
For the equitation was Diamond Pony, and for the freestyle was Rainbow Pony, which is a new persona we introduced this year.
I think you really took everybody by surprise with that outfit. Lit up, and it was very impressive when you came out.
Rainbow Pony's all about love
Aww.
And peace.
sure you could tell I was a little nervous, huh? Despite all that, I think we had a great conversation. And it only gets better in the second half. So be sure to tune in next time for the rest of the interview. Check out the show notes on my website for links to the video of Pony Diamond in action and other sites you can go to for pony play information.
Thanks for listening to Arter's Erotic Reflections. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to check out his other podcast, Arterotica. You'll find it on his podcast page on his website, arterotica.com. That's ArdorotiCa.com. It's also free and has excerpts of some of his stories. Listen, subscribe, and see you next time on Arter's Erotic Reflections.